Shalom, saints of God. Happy Valentine's Day and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my Valentine and discerning Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
And you, dear, are my Valentine every day. And a hearty shalom to all our listeners as we open tonight's program by dedicating it to our true Valentine, our Lord.
El Shaddai, we continually praise you and worship you alone as we anxiously await the sound of the heavenly shofar. Until then, we implore you to guide us in all areas of our life and ask that you keep our burdens light. We continue to pray for the new administration to ultimately fulfill your will. May you show favor to the many prayer requests of your saints, particularly those we ourselves received this week. And as always, may tonight's program be pleasing to your ears. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I want to mention right now, obviously, due to time restraints, we can't pray for individual requests on the air. But please know this. We do personally pray for each of the requests that come to this ministry. And we might as well right now tell our listeners how they can do that.
Absolutely, yes. You can comment on this program, request prayer, or send your end time questions either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net. Or you can call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And whether you would like a return call. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. A vast amount of knowledge right at your fingertips.
And remember, if you don't have internet, all the libraries do and will happily assist you.
So, I know you have a lot to say on our favorite news topic,
really,
Israel.
You bet. As all eyes have been anticipating the arrival of Prime Minister Netanyahu, who will meet one-on-one with President Trump tomorrow.
By next week, you should have a lot to say on this.
Yes, and I hope it's good news, because even 2 weeks ago, as I mentioned on that program, President Trump was hedging on moving the embassy, and now it looks like it's just not going to happen.
So you don't think tomorrow Netanyahu will sweet-talk him into it?
Not on that topic, because they both know it would just start another intifada, and actually, Bibi's not ready to take that on right now either.
So you are thinking it was a mutual understanding?
I really do. At least for now, because you have to remember, since the Obama horrible Iran deal, Israel has actually made some friends with the Sunni Arabs that really loathe the Shiites of Iran. And at some point, they would consider Israel, as well as the United States, of course, as a needed ally in a war against Iran. Just saying, it's something to ponder. And know that in all governments, nothing is really as it seems to the common folk.
Ain't that the truth? We're just pawns on a big chessboard.
Absolutely. However, praise the Lord, that will all change when Jesus is king. And that is our blessed hope, along with the great escape that Luke 21 assures all believers. And as I said 2 weeks ago, President Trump nominated the very far right David Friedman as the U.S. ambassador to Israel. But he has not yet been confirmed. But he does want to move the embassy. But even more so, emphatically opposes a Palestinian two-state solution.
He's supposed to go in front of Congress on Thursday, I think.
Right. After Bibi and Trump meet tomorrow.
Is that a coincidence or done on purpose?
I think it might have been done on purpose. Anyway, now Secretary of Defense James Mattis, as well as Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, have been confirmed and have both gone on record as favoring the two-state solution, as well as opposing any more settlements or moving the embassy. I think Trump will probably side with Mattis and Tillerson. After all, President Trump wrote The Art of the Deal, and what a feather in his hat to get a negotiated peace deal, at least on the table.
But it will take the Pope to come in and secure it.
I'm on your page.
I wonder if David Friedman will even get confirmed.
Right. I wonder as well. And has a thought crossed your mind, at least at this point? Was he only nominated to please us Christians?
Mm-hmm.
And now that maybe he'll change his pick, which, you know, he can still do. Or he can just blame it on Congress, you know, put a bug in one of their ears, because they really don't want a far-right and probably non-compromising Jew as ambassador, especially when even many of the left liberal Jewish Democrats are speaking out against his confirmation. And bottom line, it probably will bring some infighting. That I can tell you. But we hope he gets confirmed.
Anyhow, back to Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu.
Right. As I said 2 weeks ago, again, there has been, for quite a while, an ongoing investigation into his fraud accusations, misusing funds, his lavish spending and receiving very expensive gifts, pricey travel excursions, lavish hotels, and free air flights from foreign leaders, often covertly accepted through his son, Yair, who has also benefited.
You know, so sad, because you would think he would have learned from Ariel Sharon and others like Ehud Olmert, who's still serving time in jail.
He is. I know, but besides those accusations, something else is going on that, again, I have to talk about, because even though I mentioned it 2 weeks ago, it needs to be talked about again. But it's on the question of whether President Trump is kind of upset at Prime Minister Netanyahu over a possible double cross to his billionaire Jewish friend and faithful supporter, casino tycoon Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah, please. You might want to explain that again.
Okay. And I bring this up because it appears that our president is hedging from some of his campaign promises.
You mean because he's not happy with Bibi over that newspaper leak?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, for right now, let's set aside the legal investigations, because Netanyahu has many powerful legal connections since he is a 33rd degree Mason. So there's a chance he could get out of those. Anyhow, Sheldon is also a good friend to Bibi and has also contributed millions of dollars to his campaign, as he did for candidate Trump.
Well, that's no secret.
Sheldon likes Netanyahu so much, and this is wild. In 2007, Sheldon even created a right-wing conservative newspaper just for Bibi and his Likud party, because he had lost that re-election in 1999, which they said, and they blamed on, the many negative articles from the only major paper in Israel, who was, as you might have guessed, very left-leaning and anti-Netanyahu. So, with the advice of Fox's news owner Rupert Murdoch, they did it. And they called it Israel Hayom.
Which means Israel Today.
That's right.
And it was free.
Right again. So now, people could read a free newspaper with a very conservative slant. And it worked well for Bibi, because he was elected soon after, in 2009. And again in 2013, and 2015.
That's four times he's been elected as Prime Minister of Israel.
Right. His first one was in 1996. Also, soon after his last re-election, 2015, he appointed himself Communications Minister, which now gives him regulatory power over all broadcasting and news outlets. Keep that in mind. Also keep in mind that Sheldon probably told Trump to favor Israel, particularly on the settlement issue. And we saw that during the campaign. And, of course, one of the reasons Christians voted for Trump.
So Sheldon definitely has Trump's ear.
I'm very sure. And, in fact, he even visited him last week in Washington for an extended private meeting. But something came to light, and I'm not sure when, but I think it was around the time of our election, that has upset Sheldon, that Bibi got caught doing. Due to the investigations that were quickly gaining steam, Bibi found out that the other liberal left newspaper that had now fallen to number two, called Yedioth Ahronoth, with had some added evidence, apparently, and they were about to blow the story wide open. So Bibi had a meeting with them to discuss making a sweet deal. They would suppress the story, but in return, since Bibi is also the communications minister, he would arrange where Sheldon's Israel Hayom newspaper, who was now number one in circulation, would begin charging their readers, which would lower the distribution and make the Yedioth paper number one again.
You know, there could be more to it, but that's the crux of it.
Right. Like, maybe he would have said, we'll raise the cost to advertisers, possibly. I don't know. But these conversations were recorded and were somehow leaked before anything ever came to fruition. Except Sheldon Adelson now knows that Bibi was going to ruin the newspaper for his own benefit. And President Trump isn't happy about that either. Which could explain his now sudden negativity to the pro-settlement agenda. They might want Bibi to squirm a little, but I do know that Sheldon really likes him, really likes Netanyahu. And actually, since he has billions of dollars, he might have been willing to help Bibi and go along with it if it meant keeping him out of jail. But anyway, that's the behind-the-scenes story, which can often help us connect other dots. Now, yes, I am upset with Bibi, but I wouldn't be as sad if I didn't like him so much. But it does appear that President Trump is pushing to divide Jerusalem in what they call the two-state solution. And that's just a fact. That's just such a joke to me, though, because, you know, when you don't learn from history, you are doomed to repeat it. There can never be a lasting peace with the devil. It is never the solution. Well, with that reminder, we cannot forget that Scripture says they will make a deal with the devil, and Jerusalem will be divided. So there you have it. In fact, we read in Joel 3, and I'm going to read that right now. It says, for behold, in those days and at that time, that means at the end of time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there. And then he goes and says, why? On account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and have divided up my land. Mm-hmm. Now, in a sense, they've already divided up Israel. But when he says, my land, with a capital M, that refers to Jerusalem, where God's initial has been placed by the hollowed out valleys right in Jerusalem. Yes, they allow the Palestinians pretty much free access. But the Jews have sovereignty ever since the 1967 defensive war that they won. But this next treaty will mean giving up sovereignty, at least some of it, to the Palestinians and the international community. Now, we also have scripture in Ezekiel 36:5 that I want to read to you. Thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession, with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds, in order to plunder its open country. By the way, you heard me say, against all Edom. According to Jewish historians, the Roman Empire came to be identified with Esau and Edom. In medieval rabbinic writing, Edom is used to refer to the Byzantine Empire, and that Romulus, the founder of Rome, was from the line of Esau. So you see that Roman connection. I just thought I'd point that out. So, as we see that come together, you can rejoice, for our departure is nigh. And tomorrow's meeting between our president and the prime minister will certainly look to be all peaches and cream. There's going to be no holes barred. That I can tell you. And never forget, God is always totally in control. Nothing can happen without him saying so. Besides, President Trump, pray for him. But besides President Trump, let's keep Bibi in our prayers too, for his repentance and his salvation. Because one thing's for sure, unless he dies first, he will be a tribulation saint, because scripture says all Israel will be saved during Jacob's trouble. And that's a major reason why the judgment called Jacob's trouble is coming. Remember the prophecy that's told through Hosea? I got to read this for you. It's in chapter 5, verse 15. It says, I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Let's take a few moments and reflect on that. We have here a prophecy given by Hosea way back around the 8th century BC. Obviously, by Jesus, because he says he will return again to his place. Well, who else could it be but Jesus, who would come and then return to his original place? Hindsight is 20/20 for us. So, of course, we know this prophecy did happen. And he's still there until they, speaking of Israel as a whole, acknowledge their offense of rejecting him, which we know they will one day receive him again, or receive him totally, as prophesied in Ezekiel 38:23 and Ezekiel 39:22. And it's also confirmed in the New Testament, Revelation 12:17. And that will be during their affliction, which is called Jacob's trouble, or to us, it's called the tribulation. And many other descriptive names as well. But let's continue in Hosea, since we are there. Let's look at the next three verses. Let's go to Hosea chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 1 and 2. It says, come and let us return to the Lord. Okay, now this is Hosea talking to his Jewish people. He said, let's return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bandage us up or bind us up. And then after 2 days, he will revive us. Now let's pause there. After 2 days, well, obviously is referring to a day as 1,000 years, as written in Psalm 90 verse 4 and confirmed by Peter in 2 Peter 3:8, which says, beloved, do not forget this one thing. Sounds pretty important. That the Lord that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So he is saying in the scripture in Hosea that after 2,000 years, he will revive or restore them. Now let me ask you right now, what follows the second day? Well, of course, it's the third day. So Hosea continues in it says, on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. That's obviously the resurrection. So after 2,000 years, at the very end of 2,000 years, which would make it the very start of the 3,000th year from when Jesus was here, when the rapture resurrection will occur. Now, only God knows exactly when that is due. Okay, and that's because of our corrupt calendars. But we obviously do know it's real soon. And we can also know the season because of the next verse, which is confirmed in the New Testament by James in chapter 5. It goes on in Hosea to say, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. It's a done deal, saints of God, and he will not change his mind. And he tells us even more information in the next sentence where he says he will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. You know, there are two major rains in Israel, in the spring and in the fall. Now, we know he died in the spring, and he's going to return as king in the fall. And James verifies that in chapter 5, verse 7. Because it explains that he returns when the fruit is ripe for harvest. When is that? Well, it's in the fall. And that's when the last three feasts or appointments of God occur. And you know he's going to fulfill those. So I'm pretty sure he's coming back in the fall. First with the rapture, 7 years later at Yom Kippur. And then he starts his millennial kingdom and the Feast of Tabernacles. Wow. So, it's all there in the Word. It's just wrapped in a big red bow that looks like a heart. That's why every day is Valentine's Day to Jesus and to those who call themselves his beloved bride. So, who's your spiritual Valentine? It can easily be Jesus. If you're listening out there, maybe you've never heard this program before and you've never made Jesus Lord over your life, you can know this. He laid his heart on the cross for you. He paid your debt for your sins. He stands at the door of your heart and is knocking right now. That's what it says in Revelation 3:20. Can you feel it? Just open it. And he will come into you and take up residence within you. I know you can hear him. He's knocking right now. But he won't crash in. It's your move. He gives us free choice. So you can easily be the beneficiary of a beautiful love story ever told. Written in blood on a wooden cross. But it's your move. Just do it. And now for the Aaronic blessing out of Numbers 6, 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's shalom. Till next time, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for our new president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, we're going to prosper. And that's Psalm 122:6. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.